Thank you so much, Bonnie. Thank you for that. I'm reading from the Revelation of John, chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests, to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. John is writing to the seven churches of Asia. Now, the number seven stood for wholeness. It stood for completeness. Thus, John was writing to all the churches of Asia, indeed to all the churches everywhere and in every age, even to Tramway Baptist Church. John sends his blessings to the churches, saying, grace and peace to you. Grace is God's unmerited love. Peace is that inward calm and confidence that one has when he's in a right relationship with God. Grace and peace to you from Him who was, from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come. This is the eternal God, the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. And from the Holy Spirit, in all His fullness, in all His completeness, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He was faithful unto death, and His death on the cross was an act of unconditional love. And in His death, John tells us, He has freed us from our sins. And then John adds, and He has made us to be a kingdom and priest, to serve His God and Father. Now, in the Greek, there is no and between kingdom and priest. A literal translation would be, and He has made us to be a kingdom, comma, priest, to serve His God and Father. This is a quotation from Exodus 19:6, when God said to His people through Moses, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, John said He has made us to be a kingdom of priests. The word made is poeo, and it means to construct, it means to create, to constitute. It even means to appoint to an office. He has made us, says John, He has appointed us to be a kingdom of priests. Remember now, John is writing to all the churches everywhere, to all the believers everywhere. And John is telling us here that the priesthood is no longer a special office for a select few, but all of us who know Christ are now priests unto God. And I would point out to you that a priest served as an intermediary. He went to God on behalf of the people, and he went to the people on behalf of God that he might bring men and God together. Someone has defined it this way: a priest is one who welcomes men into the presence of God, who enables men to experience the love and the grace of God. Dr. Charles A. Trenum, former pastor of First Baptist Church, Washington, D.C., tells of a priest in his church who served faithfully for a number of years until his death. His name was Jim Davies. He never wore a clerical collar. He was never somber. He was, said Dr. Trenum, a man of remarkable humor and unfailing spirit. He was the keeper of the western door of the church for more than 40 years. It was through that door that the children came to Sunday school. One child said to her mother, who had just given her money for the offering, "I want to give my nickel to Jesus." "To whom?" asked her mother. "To Jesus," was the reply. As she gave her nickel to the white-haired, friendly man at the western door. Many of child, said Dr. Trenum, felt that he or she had not really been to church if they had not given Jim Davies a warm hug as they entered the church. He was a simple laboring man employed by the railroad. He was a man who bore a witness for Christ, both in his personal witnessing and in his faithfulness to Christ and his church. He would arrive at 8 o'clock, and he would take his place at the western door, lest some stranger would come to the house of God and not be warmly welcomed as a brother. As each child came to the door and passed through it, Jim Davies would breathe a silent prayer that someday that child would give his or her heart to Christ. And many did, because of the influence of this faithful and godly man. Jim Davies certainly lived up to that definition of a priest. Someone who welcomes others into the presence of God, who enables others to experience the love and the grace of God. Now, together with that, I would point out to you that the Latin word for priest is pontifex. The word means a bridge builder. Think about that for a moment. A priest is the builder of a bridge between man and God. He enables men to cross over, to experience, to enter the presence of God. And I submit to you this morning that that's what we are called to be. On this highway, in this community, bridge builders. Men and women who, through their commitment to Christ, enable others to experience the love and the grace of God, to know God. And I submit to you that not only are we bridge builders, but in a very real sense, the church, this church, is the bridge we are building. For it is through our labor and our ministries, and our involvement, and our service, and our programs here, that we seek to introduce people to Jesus Christ, and to nurture them, and to grow them in the faith. Now, if these are valid images, and I believe they are, that we are bridge builders, and this church is the bridge we are building, then the question is, what kind of bridge do you want to build here on this highway? That is to say, what kind of church do you want to build? What kind of church indeed are we building right now? And are you satisfied with that? Not too far from where I grew up, there once stood two bridges, almost side by side. One was a rickety old footbridge that spanned a saltwater pond leading down to the Chesapeake Bay. Because of weather and just sheer neglect over the years, the planks on that footbridge just started rotting out. And if you use that bridge to get down to the beach, you had better be cautious. You had better walk very carefully, or you might stumble or simply just fall right through. People stopped using that bridge after a while. It just got too dangerous. The bridge is gone now. And I can guarantee you that not many people today even remember there was a bridge there to begin with. Now, just to the left of that old dilapidated footbridge, there was another bridge. It's still there today. The Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. 23 miles of concrete and steel. Since it opened in April 1964, more than 100 million vehicles have crossed over that bridge. And it will still be standing after all of us have gone, still serving its purpose. Now, it seems to me that some people are content to build a church like that first bridge I mentioned. A rickety old structure that will not stand the test of time. And it's not very inviting at all. It's more of a barrier than anything else because it's built out of apathy and indifference and unfaithfulness and excuses. And those who come to this bridge seeking their way find very little to encourage them onward to know God toward a growing, deepening relationship with Him. Indeed, more often than not, those who come to this bridge are turned off and turned away before they really begin their journey with Christ. And that's a shame. But some people want to build, and they're striving to build a church like the second bridge. A church of spiritual concrete and steel. Material like devotion and unselfishness and dedication and sacrifice. They really love the church that Christ loved. And they understand that the church is only as strong as the spiritual depth of its members, their faithfulness, their level of commitment. And thus they strive to give the very best that they have to give. They want their church to stand strong and sure for all the years to come. To be a beacon for Christ to those who pass this way, searching, seeking to know Christ. And they don't want them to miss Him when they pass this way. Some of you remember back in 1970, Simon and Garfunkel had a hit song, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. I thought, well, you know, that's what the church ought to be. It ought to be a bridge over troubled waters. Over the troubled waters of sin and selfishness and godliness. And so I would ask you again, what kind of bridge, what kind of church do you want to build here on this highway? What about future generations, those who will pass through these doors in the years to come? Because of you, because of your commitment, will they find here a bridge over troubled waters? Will they find here a strong, vibrant church, pointing them to faith and commitment to Christ? Because of you. Time and again, as I look at the faces of our children who come down for the children's time on Sunday morning, I'm reminded of a poem by Will Allen Drumgoole, and it's entitled The Bridge Builder. And it goes like this. An old man traveling a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream held no fears for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and builded a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your time in building here. Your journey will end with the closing day. You never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This stream which has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must pass in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. Our invitation this morning is 317. Only trust Him. And I invite you to come this morning, to come and receive Christ as your Savior. Come and unite with His church to recommit your life to Him as we stand and as we sing this morning. You come.